mention this as a relative newcomer to the world of sermonettes here. And I think generally what I've have to offer may resonate with others who are newer in their invitation from God. I'm often left quite humbled by the messages offered by our ministers, and I learn so much from them each and every week. It really is astonishing to me. What I can offer is in the way of connecting the Bible with the challenges that we face in our lives, and as Christians who come to faith by a choice that God makes and an offer that is extended to us. It is not to try it and shop around for the shorter sermon or coffee or anything like that. From my perspective, this is unlike anything else I've done professionally in my lifetime, and it's really, quite frankly, the most humbling, to be sure. It's been rattling around in my mind lately, and I thought I just wanted to mention that, and again, just mention how inspired I am by our ministers and the messages they bring every week. So let's dive in. I've been paying particular attention to the prayer requests lately during services, and I recall at the past two feasts that I've attended that while greeting brethren just prior to the morning services, which is always a very fun time in the room. There's a lot of buzz and energy. But I would receive many questions from caring church members about the spinal issues that I was facing. And what struck me was not the questions themselves, but the concern that was underlying them. Now, here's the interesting part. Each member that was asking me had many of their own health matters or issues or other challenges that they were concerned about, yet they were interested primarily in my state, and it was very, very sincere, obviously. Now, is this surprising? No, of course not. Is it surprising also that church members who've been called by God to the truth should have health problems and face adversity on a daily and even hourly basis? And quite frankly, this ties back to my title of the sermonette, which I failed to mention, but it was right there, Facing the Pain and Adversities of Life. Does our faith offer an insulating barrier? I suspect people that are not familiar with a church such as ours, which is ultimately not a social assembly or a come-when-you-please type of group, but they might wonder why these followers of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, would suffer at all. Are we not chosen, in their view, as the Israelites of old? Aren't we to be spared the agonies that non-believers face in this world? You don't need to turn here, but in Proverbs 3 and in verses 5 and 6, we learn and hopefully understand that we are not to rely on our own understanding of the world and the situations that we face. This is very tough to do, I understand that, but we're to trust always in the Lord our God. That's the message in Proverbs that we're to take away. Now, a bit slightly off point, perhaps, but I was quite upset and concerned by a response that I heard to the recent attacks at the New Zealand mosques. And this was offered by a New York congresswoman who seemed to mock the fact that praying to God could not keep these people safe, the inference being that additional legislation and gun controls could accomplish what God could or would not. We know that this type of reaction may become more the standard as people turn their backs on God and embrace anything that appears to be politically correct or politically expedient, for that matter. And having spent many years in local government and in the political sphere, I can see this in play. And Mr. Link does an excellent job of translating the signs for us. And if we pay attention to this, we can gain a better understanding, and we should. And, of course, this is not in any way a revelation to any of you here in the audience or across our brethren. We face adversity and pain each day, and perhaps more so simply because we have answered God's invitation. We also understand that there is a reason for adversity in our lives. I'm really not referring today to the Job-like tests that would crush or could crush many of us, or certainly the trials faced by Jesus Christ in his lifetime on earth. No, I'm really talking about the day-to-day variety of ailments, financial woes, hardships that can make in the very human sense, getting out of bed in the morning a great feat. Jumping in now with, and I'll ask you to turn with me to Psalms 34 and verse 19 for a quick introduction to this concept of pain and adversity in our lives as perhaps a tool. So beginning in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them, out of them all. And in verse 20, it goes on, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, bones are often used in the biblical sense to symbolize the suffering that we face here on earth as humans. So how do our daily woes stack up? Now imagine in the situation of our Lord Jesus Christ, imagine you've just left home, you've finished the beginning of your studies and found some people who had some measure of faith in you. Then before long you begin to see that at nearly every turn, people who should rally to you begin to plot your demise. This alone would be too great for many of us to bear, of course, let alone to have knowledge of. In his three-year ministry, Jesus did not travel far by modern standards, yet his messages resonated deeply with the followers and adversaries alike. People who loved their earthly power and riches chafed at the very thought that this one man could move so many with just so few words and possibly threaten their hold on power. This is foolish, of course, but we also know it's very carnal and very human. Each week now, we hear in the announcements another church member who might be in need, and we may be even downcast at the news when we consider how many of us are suffering to some extent. Or are we? Should we be downcast? And if you turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verses 16 and 19, I think we can gain a better understanding. Again, Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, we read, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And continuing in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then going on in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are reminded of a bigger picture, something we can easily lose sight of when struggling in our own, what we believe is our own unique and not so unique situations. Yet the words are there. And while these may indeed be just words to many people who might pick up a Bible and read, we know and we understand each word is there for us specifically, perhaps only unlocked in a way after God decides to call us. They are there to teach and to help us cope with our own measure of adversity, because if we hold fast and prevail, then no one may take the crown of salvation that God has offered. Again, maybe just words to many, but a promise to us, for sure. Still, I do not minimize the weight of the pain of a medical procedure, even as simple as a technician missing a vein three times and maybe coming back for another shot, because you know what? You may be just this person's adversity today. They need to learn how to do that, and you may be the chosen one from that standpoint. And as the sweat runs down each of your backs, that process is continuing. And now I don't minimize that each step on a given day may be a personal torture, but there is not one of us who does not know that Jesus Christ suffered far more. We know that. And at the hands of his own community, which is really, truly mind-boggling. Is this resonating for you? I mean, I think it's a message we hear and have heard before, but to me, it has made an awful lot of sense in recent months and years. And in Revelation 3, we're going to quickly go there. Revelation chapter 3, and in verse 21, we read the words of Jesus Christ, which should ring out as the promise for a lifetime. And these are not just words. These are the words of Jesus Christ, which, as I say, should cast away any doubt. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. I also love the fact that spell check does not like capitalizing me when we're referring to Jesus, but you do it anyway. And as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is so powerful. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Are the words of Jesus to us meaningful enough than during these trials that I began with? I know that it would feel much better if we received a personal visit during each trial from God, and we are not privileged to have lived and walked with Jesus during his time on earth. But can you not take a dose of pain and understand that this is not necessarily the punishment that, frankly, I was taught as a child that I deserved by my Catholic Church and with the support of the community that I grew up in? But it's a privilege. In 1 Peter 4, and in verses 12 and 13, we actually read the words that I think answer this question far better than I can describe. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. That's the point. That is truly the point. When a person is prepped for surgery these days, they are, for the most part, tortured. Multiple jabs, and interestingly, the medicine that they use in the OR is, it's called propofol, is a fluid that can easily and quickly put a person into a deep, dreamless slumber and enable the docs and nurses to bring the person around extremely quickly following the surgery. Yet as the medicine hits your veins, there's a unique and quite real sense that it's burning in your arm. And the burn can be unbearable depending on how they administer it. And as it circulates, this fire in your bloodstream makes you feel as though death is either inevitable or would be a blessing. This fiery trial may be one of many trials we experience in our lifetime, but it's so fleeting. It's seconds compared to the lifetime that we live, that we're given, and the opportunities that we're given. As a servant of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, we can count it as a tiny portion of the heat of the forge by which God may refine his faithful. To others, this pain and suffering may render them bitter and hard, and perhaps even becoming harder, as we know will occur in the world. To those who have little hope for a future, it may be one more reminder of a world, and it's Satan's world in that standpoint, that has let them down, correct? But let's conclude with another scripture in Jeremiah 29 and in verse 11. So Jeremiah 29 and in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then finally in verse 12, then you will call upon me and go to pray to me, and I will listen to you. So again, another promise from God that everything we go through is but a preparation. So brethren, please think of the adversities that you face each day. And I do not for a second know that what you face in the pain that you have, but think of them as a test that God does need to administer to each of us to see if we are indeed worthy and able to withstand and overcome. If we are to be with him and the Father in the New Jerusalem, it will take courage and strength unknown to others.